evening or good afternoon. Actually, I keep messing that up. Excuse me. Good afternoon. This is Holly with Gap to Gap Radio, and this is our Thursday show with Ron Ray from Future Stars of Sports. And we're talking mostly about COVID and its impact on getting back on the field and actually staying there. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We were hoping to move forward with more softball-related stuff. And I'm going to say, if you want to call in, if you're listening, you want to call in, you want to talk about, the best way to throw a drop ball or something, you know, those type of things. It's all talking all softball. We don't have to stay on this. We're going to talk about some updates at the first part of it. But if you're a caller, you want to talk softball, you want to talk about professional softball or college softball or whatever, that's it's wide open at that point. So happy you're here. Again, this is a weekly Thursday show every Thursday at noon Eastern time. And you can listen to this archive if you haven't figured this out later. If you missed the shows, you can listen to all the other shows. Before we get started, a few things we need to take care of. The disclaimers. again, all opinions expressed of this show are the property of the individual expressing the opinion and may or may not be the opinion of National Fast Pitch Academy, Gap to Gap Radio, Holly Knight, Future Stars of Sports, or Ron Ray. Also, we are not doctors or medically trained in any opinion on the impact of COVID-19 on any individual's health. And I would say any suggestions of any medical suggestions or opinion is that just of our opinion and not intended as medical advice. So if you are listening live, you can call in 516-666-9488. That number is on the screen. You can text Ron if you have his number. You can text him. If you don't, it's 502-541-0103. That is also in the description. My text number, you can text me at 502-262-9195. You can send a message on Gap to Gap Facebook page. You can send a message on the chat here. It's at the bottom of the screen. I'll be watching both of those. And with that said, we've got some new stuff that is going on in the world of softball, especially, I guess, mostly in the world of softball in southeastern Tennessee. So, Ron, how's it going today?
I'm hanging in there, Holly. It hasn't been a good couple of days, as you're aware. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, and I did send out a mass email last night notifying the teams, and, you know, I'm getting some responses. So far, everybody's been understanding, you know, it's out of our control. But the Tennessee governor Monday issued an executive order that he's pushed everything back to August 1. We have a couple parks down there that are playing. Unfortunately, the parks are being controlled by local health departments, county judges, things of that nature, and some are playing, some are not. But we typically use 19 fields in the Johnson City area, and we have 5 fields available to us.
Yeah,
tourism. Yeah. I mean, it's devastating.
Right.
Tourism has reached out to other parks in the area, and we didn't have any luck. What few parks are playing are already locked in by other organizations that are local. So, unfortunately, I sent out a mass email last night, and we have canceled this year's World Series in Johnson City, Tennessee. Myself and my directors all are, you know, I would maybe a little bit overblown here, but I'm going to say brokenhearted.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, this is something that we look forward to. I mean, most of us go down, George, myself, and Donnie. We get down there on Monday. We're there for the entire week. Don't come back until the following Monday. Then I have several staff that come down on Wednesday, and they're there till Monday. But, it, you know, it's a week that we look forward to. We put a lot of work into it, and it's, you know, it's a fun week for us. It's a stressful week, but it's always a fun week, and it's something that, quite honestly, you know, we get excited about as it gets close. We look forward to doing it, and to have this happen, you know, it's very disappointing. I know it's disappointing to the teams, But I will promise you that none of them are any more disappointed than we are. And, you know, we ask that they be understanding. So far, the emails that I have received, you know, it's out of your control. We understand, you know, hate that it's happened, but, you know, we understand. And, you know, it is out of our control, as everybody knows. Numbers are going up in Tennessee and other places. And I just felt that, although we did look for additional fields, I felt that it was best to go ahead and pull the plug instead of waiting till the last minute, where teams can at least find somewhere else to go that weekend, and maybe they can find another large event. But very disheartening, and it's not the news that I wanted to come on this show today to drop the bomb on, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's and I, you know, honestly, I think I've, if you were, and that's one of the things that is your situation where you've made it your mantra almost, is that you're not trying to take people's money, or you're trying to make sure, you know, obviously you have expenses and you're doing this to make a living and everything. But a lot of people would say, I'm going to stay with this as long as I can until I make a decision, and I don't care if they don't have any place to play. So you're not just thinking of yourself and thinking of Johnson City, you're thinking of the teams that, so I appreciate that. I think that's admirable.
Well, it's, you know, it's a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people say, well, can we relocate? Can we do this? Can we do that? And it's not that easy. I mean, you've got to go into a situation that have hotels available. You've got to have fields available. You've got to reassign umpires and have umpires in that area, which for this, the umpires probably wouldn't be a problem, other than, you know, hotels do help us put them up. But mm-hmm. Most of the umpires that we use down there come from different areas. I mean, we get a lot out of South Carolina and North Carolina. I send several down from Kentucky and southern Indiana. But to readjust on the fly is very difficult. And, you know, I'm not going to say it wasn't considered, but you've got to jump through a lot of hoops to make it happen. And I don't know that I could have pulled it off, did consider it. I actually have Mark McClain, my West Virginia director, just text me and said, "Hey, you know, I can do this," but it's not that simple. It just with everything going on, as far as the hotels and the other outside thing, other than just playing ball, it's hard to do this in just a matter of a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. People don't have a clue what goes on behind the scenes to make something like this happen. And it's not, I just don't think it's feasible to readjust and move it to another location.
Yeah, especially, and I think in addition to that, because I've done similar situations, that when you do that type of thing, when you rush to do it really quickly, even though people will be understanding, it's going to probably not be the product you want to put out there to begin with, because you're doing a lot of last minute stuff and some things don't get done.
Exactly. You're going to drop the ball on something. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, where we're at right now, unfortunately, who's to say, the way the numbers are going up, who's to say we don't try to move it over here and then they cancel there? And,
right.
You know, it's just the times that we're in. There are so many unknowns. You know, if this was something happened to the park or whatever, you know, unfortunate, they had a storm or something and had all the poles knocked down on the fields and the fields weren't going to be playable, but we're not in a pandemic, then you might be able to, you know, do something differently. But under the circumstances that we are and the reason that this has been shut down, I don't know that it's realistic to even try to move it somewhere else with uh-huh. with the unknowns, because this could
right.
happen again. And the direction we're going in right now, and I'm not talking about my program, I'm talking about the country, My understanding is Indiana last week, and this doesn't affect our softball or baseball right now, but the governor said the next phase of opening, and I don't know what the next phase was, but, you know, he's not moving forward with the next phase. So there obviously are more concerns here with our numbers going up, and, you know, it's in all parts of the country. And, you know, it would just be too big of a gamble to suddenly up and try to take this to West Virginia or wherever when the same thing could happen again.
True, true. I think the Indiana thing is it's phase five, I believe. It's the last phase, which I think was opening 100%. So I think they just put that on hold. I think. I'm not positive.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Yeah. I just knew.
Yeah.
I get updates on my phone, and right now, you know, I don't have time to read those updates. I mean, I'm dealing
right.
so much that, you know, I'll catch bits and pieces, and I might ask my wife, hey, you know, what's going on here or whatever, and she may or may not know. But I myself am having trouble keeping up with myself, much less what's going on in other areas like that. But I knew something was issued, that they were not going to move to the next phase. I just didn't know what the next phase was.
Right, right. Well, I wasn't going to be mean because you're going through a tough time. Since I've known you for a while, I was going to say something like, you're struggling. What'd you say? You're like struggling with yourself a little bit. So I could have, you opened yourself up to a few things, but I didn't go there.
Feel free to go there. I might need a little bit of that right now. It's been very difficult. I mean, I was getting a little bit of this on Tuesday evening, and again, I started reaching out to my people down in Tennessee and said, hey, you know, this is what I'm hearing. They were aware of the order, but at the same time, we still thought that there was going to be some fields available. But I was like, you know, not the way I read this. Can you all reach out to people and find out? And that's what they came back with. Wing Deer Park normally has five fields, or does have five fields, and under the new issue, the executive order, we would be able to use three fields at that park, not five.
Uh-huh.
50 people social distancing, so that's another hurdle to jump. And then two fields about 15 minutes from there that were available. So, you know, five fields. When we normally use 16 or so fields, we usually have 19 reserved and typically use 16 and use the other three as backups if we have to move something, you know, if a park gets rained out. They're so scattered out down there that you might be playing at three locations and have one location get hit with a storm, and we have three fields as backup to where, you know, if we get in that situation, we can always move some games to another location. But all of those fields are not available to us. And, you know, some of them, seven of the fields are on two different school properties. So as we know here locally, Kentucky and Indiana, a lot of your school-based fields are not, they're not permitting you to play on them. And same thing happened down here. Again, you know, I was being told all along July 1 we were going to be good.
Uh-huh.
And July the 11th, from my understanding, they were going back to expecting to be 100%. So we were going to have all the fields available to us. And then with the executive order coming out, and, you know, I get it. If you know, I watch Good Morning America, and they always have the map up, and it shows the, you know, the red states. And when I say that, those are, you know, it's a map that's showing where the virus is increasing, and then there's like a yellow for stable, and green is good, and Tennessee was one of them in the red. So, you know, I'm shocked a little, disappointed a little, but at the same time, I was also in the back of my mind concerned that this was going to happen, because I have been monitoring this and trying to keep up with what was going on, and if you know, if there was a chance that this could happen, and obviously it did happen, and it's, you know, I feel horrible about it and very disappointed, but, you know, it's out of our control, and I'm just hopeful that here in Kentucky and Indiana, where we play most of our stuff at, we continue to get to keep playing, and Mark's doing a few things up there in West Virginia, and hopefully he gets to continue as well, but I just don't think it's feasible to try to relocate. And doing that, how many teams would do it? You know, I've got teams from South Carolina, South Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania. You know, you go relocating thinking that this is good, you know, or not good, but at least, you know, an option. And I would probably go through all that only to have, you know, half of the group that's still wanting to play suddenly decide that, you know, we're not going to do that. And plus, again, not sure that we have hotels and things available to us. And I don't do hotels, you know, I don't do the rebate. So as far as me needing to lock up hotels, but is there hotels that's in that area that doesn't have something going on and they're available for teams to get rooms? It just, there's just so many variables in here that come into play that, you know, I just don't think it's not feasible to switch out this late in the game.
Right. So we do have some of your people that have called in. They're on here waiting. I do know that typically George is just kind of listening. We've got Mark here, John Bowles, Jason, Don Harvey. I guess I'm going to go for those of you, kind of hold on a little bit. I'm going to just kind of go in order and kind of get you taken care of and let you kind of bring up some points, and then we'll kind of get to you when we get to you. So hopefully be patient. We'll get to you as soon as possible. The first one called in is Mark, and I think Mark's got some probably updates in West Virginia. Mark, how's it going?
It's good. Ron called me last night, and I didn't answer. I was busy with my kids. So I'm just getting the news about Johnson City.
Oh,
void about it.
Yeah.
But here, I mean, right now, and like he said, like Ron said, I mean, it could shut down. You never know who's going to shut down when or anything. So, you know, you're not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to do. But as far as us right now, we're ready to go. I mean, we're going to play this week. No, not this weekend. We're going to play next weekend in Ona again. And I'm still taking teams for that. And then the following weekend, I mean, I'll sit down and talk to Ron about it if he wants me to do something here the following weekend, because I plan on going to Johnson City also the next 2 weeks. So I'll talk with Ron, and if he wants to change it up and just do something small here, I can accommodate that. I can accommodate something a little bit bigger also. So just, I mean, he's my guy. I'm with him 100%. So whatever he wants to do, and I know right now, I mean, he's probably spinning insane right now just trying to figure out what's next. So we'll talk, and I'll listen to him, and I'll decide. I mean, I'll decide on based on what he thinks is right for, you know, future stars of sports.
And Mark, right now, if you can lock those. I'm sorry, Mark, if you can lock those fields up for that weekend, again, you know, it won't be the World Series. I don't have any intention of trying that. I just don't think that's feasible to do. But I'm sure that some of these teams are going to be looking for an option. I've already had a few say, well, do you have anything else going on that weekend? So if you can lock up some fields down there, I can at least put that out that, you know, this is an option, that we do have something going on, and that you can you know, contact Mark, and, you know, maybe you get a handful of teams out of it. I really don't know. You know, it's everything's up in the air. But, you know, these teams are going to be disappointed. I know that, and they probably will be looking for something else to play. I would think most of them will be, you know, looking for a bigger venue than just a weekend tournament. But I, you know, I don't know that. That's just my thoughts. But, you know, if you can lock up the complex there for that weekend, we'll definitely try to push something your direction.
Okay. That's not a problem at all.
Well, good deal. So I guess let's go ahead. Mark, anything else? We'll go to John here. If you get if you want to hold on, or if you got something else right now, we'll get back to you here quickly.
No, I'm just going to listen and see. I mean, see which direction we're going to head. I mean, like I said, I'm wrong 100%. And so whatever he decides, I mean, I'm backing. And I mean, it is what it is right now.
Yeah.
Mark,
pretty much. Yeah. Go ahead.
Mark, as well, I will tell you that the showcase we were doing the following weekend in Johnson City, we need to revisit that. That event will be canceled as well.
Definitely.
I'm definitely want to do that event, but we need to either look at West Virginia or bringing it to Nicholasville. But we'll talk after a while, you know, off the show. You and I can get together, but I want to run that college showcase. We just need to find another location.
Okay.
But I'll talk to you later on that one.
Definitely. Yeah. And we'll just listen and we'll talk later. Thanks.
Sounds good. All right. I'm going to put you on hold, Mark, so we can kind of keep the noise down a little bit and the the feedback. And we're going to go to John. I think John should be connected. Oop, come on. Is there a connection there? It's not. There we go. There we go. John, you there?
I'm here. I'm just working. So I'm just kind of listening to you guys.
Okay. All right. Any comment real quick? Any thoughts? Just other than it's disappointing, obviously.
That's about it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Holly, let me jump in here.
Yeah,
Holly, hold on just a second.
Mm-hmm.
John, actually, on an exciting note or a positive note, we are running out of Nicholasville, Kentucky this weekend with 20-some teams, and will be our first one in Kentucky since March. And John will be the director up there. He and Bernie Bowes will be up there. So we're at least excited about that, disappointed with the news of Tennessee, but excited that we're starting to play in Kentucky, and John will be our director up there. So hopefully that's the first of many in Nicholasville. But I just wanted to throw that out. And while I'm thinking about it as well, so there's not confusion, I do a small SeaWorld series in New Albany, Indiana. That is still on, and that's next weekend, the July 10th, 11th, and 12th. So for people, I just don't want them getting confused and think that, you know, when we mention World Series is canceled, the SeaWorld in New Albany is still being played.
Good deal. So can I get real quick for those that are listening now or, you know, we'll listen a little bit later. I guess assume you're full with teams for the Nicholasville tournament.
Nicholasville schedule's already out. I'm not going to say that if somebody were to jump in, depending on what age it is, I might take a team, but the schedule's already out. Typically, the schedule goes out on Wednesday. It's hard to squeeze somebody in at times. But, you know, as it got closer, I had three or four drop out that had signed up. You know, they find out that somebody's got – it's 4th of July and mom and dad had plans and we were counting on little Susie to play or whatever. I mean, it happens, and it's worse on the 4th of July weekend. Plus you've got people that take vacations this time of the year. So sometimes coaches knee jerk reaction and jump in something and find out they don't even have enough to play. And that happened with three or four teams and a couple of injuries as well. I know I'm in New Albany, Indiana this weekend with high school division, and I think three high school teams dropped out. A couple of them were injury related, but and some, you know, it just seems like right now that's happening more than it normally does. So it may be too that the COVID may be doing some of this as well. People decide not to play.
Go ahead.
But you know, Nicholasville, we're going full blown, and I hope to be playing every weekend at Nicholasville from now until Halloween weekend. So people looking to play, definitely reach out to me, and we can see we can't place you somewhere. And you know, Eastern Kentucky teams, Mark's right there in your backyard, and we're still doing Southern Indiana, and we'll be doing stuff out of Beachmont and Louisville as well. So we're starting to at least get some things going, and you know, it's going to be week to week, just like it has been. You know, deciding what we're going to do, but we're planning on playing. So that, you know, that's positive on it.
Yeah,
I just wanted to throw that out as far as the New Albany SeaWorld Series. I don't want people thinking that that's what we were talking about.
So I know that we got a lot to talk about. It's already about 12:30. At one time, and I'm going to throw that, kind of shift gears a little bit. I do want to get to Jason and Don here for sure. But at one time, if you can get a little bit of a brief, because at one time, wasn't there an issue with turning the lights on was going to be a big cost, and there's some issues there. Has that been resolved at most places, or is that kind of put on hold?
Well, Nicholasville is under that. They've got this surcharge. Brandenburg, Meade Olin Park, which you know we're not using because of the COVID, but where we play at, they've got a service charge as well. Surge charge, I believe, is what it's called. But when they flip the lights on and it's overpowers the system or whatever, and they've got ridiculous fees if you do that, and you can turn them on like after 9 o'clock, but there are so many red areas there that I've just have agreed with the park that we would not use the lights, and I've scheduled it to where we should be done in plenty of time. So because of that, I am limited as to what I can take up there, but you know, I can do 24 fast pitch teams easily and still stay under the light curfew. But that is one of the problems that we're having with that field. And they're supposed to contact the utilities and see if there's a way that we can put those on separate breakers where you're not firing the whole park up at one time to maybe get around that. But, yeah, that is an issue, and it's not just that park. There's a lot of parks around that have those same things, but the fees that they throw on you is ridiculous. I was using a college baseball field at one time, and it was only one field, and they told me if we used the lights, it was an additional $1,000, and I was like,
wow.
I mean, it was one field, but I later found out it was the same thing. It was Kentucky Utilities had this surcharge on, and they were charged a big fee for using the lights, and therefore, you know, they were going to pass that on to me, which is understandable. But I quit playing at that park because of that one circumstance. Because when you're using one field and you add $1,000 on top of what you're renting the park for anyway, it's not worth doing it.
So, no.
But, yeah, that is an issue up at Nicholasville. If we were to get in rain or something of that nature, you know, we're not able to turn on the lights. But I've scheduled it to where we should, you know, that light should not come into play up there.
Yeah, good deal. All right, John, well, good luck this weekend. It's pretty exciting because I know this has been some work getting there. I know everybody's excited about Nicholasville.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, good deal. All right, so we're going to kind of move on to Jason. Jason, how's it going?
Hey, Holly, how you doing? Ron, how are you?
Pretty good, buddy. How are you?
Not too bad. So we are we're off this weekend, but I'm still in town, and I've got some good friends of mine and kids that I've coached last year that have moved up. So we're going to make it down to a park and watch some games this weekend since it's here locally, and and get to see those kids play ball to where it's, you know, commutable just to watch games, and then also kind of see what I expect Kentucky to run in the next couple of weeks. Our next scheduled one is we're going to Boyd's Knob next week that I committed to a couple weeks ago, and go out there. Then that should get us through some out of state stuff and get back into Kentucky come the 18th for our next Kentucky one. So I plan on watching some ball this weekend, but I do have one question for you, Ron, or any other directors that are on here. And I haven't ran across it whenever we played in New Albany a couple weeks ago, but some of my parents with other baseball, I think is what it was, is they're the directors or the host of the parks were going to no coolers. And I understand parks have that in play in previous years on normal years that, you know, no personal coolers or no team coolers. And I get it. It's so those that are hosting can make the money off the concessions, and I fully respect that. But I think right now those families that wish to bring their own coolers, you know, they're already, some of them are already stepping out of their comfort zone to go to these tournaments. So what do you feel about, you know, personal coolers not being allowed whenever they're coming to these tournaments, they're stepping out of their comfort zone and would prefer to feed or drink out of their own personal cooler versus go to the concession stand, even though I understand it is a good fundraiser and a moneymaker for the concessions, but at the same time trying to accommodate everybody?
Here's what I'll say to that, Jason. Put your Gatorade in their ball bag. And the reason I say
you.
It that way, I have nothing to do with concessions at any park I'm at. That's the agreements that we have with the parks. They get concessions. I pay for use of the fields, but concessions is not in my control. And you're 100% correct. Most places that I'm at, they are very strict about coolers because that's where they make their money at. I always tell teams, they're not going to look at your ball bag when you come in. Put a Gatorade in each one of the kids' bags and let them drink, and nobody can say anything. And, you know, that's a way around it. But as far as the coolers are, you know, I can't control that. It's the parks doing it themselves, and I have absolutely nothing to do with the concessions. But, you know, New Albany, for one, that you mentioned, is really strict. And, you know, I don't know if you played in mine or that was another organization. I think I would say it was another organization because I think you're eights, and I haven't had eights up there.
We were another organization at Floyd's Knob, just north of New Albany there. And there were no issues with coolers. It was just parents of other – I think it was baseball. Their kids, you know, we've got siblings that play baseball, and there was some questions asked about the coolers at other parks than what I played at.
And again, I don't know what other directors in that area, and I know most of them, and I know when you're talking Floyd Knobs, I know exactly who was running that event. But I don't know what agreements they have, but my agreements everywhere I'm at – is it's controlled by the park as far as concessions. That's something I don't even want to deal with. And they're the ones that set the guidelines as far as coolers go. And now, you know, ironically down in Johnson City, even though I've got the same agreement, they allow coolers at theirs. I was really shocked. Every one of those places that we play the World Series at, they allow coolers. And, flip side, I also know they do quite well in the concession stand. So, but it's not mine, and I just, you know, I have to abide by the rules just like you all do when it comes to that. But you know, unfortunately, I don't have a better answer than that.
No, I got you. I was just kind of throwing that out there just as a, It's a question that's been brought up to me, so I'm sure it's a question that's been brought up to others. And like I said, I have not personally had an issue with any of that at the ballpark that I played at. But I also understand parents' concerns of, you know, not trying to take money away from the concession. But at the same time, we would prefer to have our, you know, our own hands and our own coolers, you know, as far as the families go. And I think now is a different – we've just said it 100 times. Now is a different time and, you know, different rules. If we're changing rules to accommodate the pandemic with umpires behind the pitcher, then I think some rules at parks could be considered to – if you did have no personal coolers allowed, now would be that exception. And once again, like you said, that those are usually stuff that's well out of our control, whether we host a tournament or play in one. But it was just something I was kind of throwing out there for the other listeners to see what they thought, or on the same page, or, you know, if there's a explanation. I'm completely supportive of it and respect it. And those are the times you just run out to the car. And like you said, you feed your kid from the car or from their softball bag, one or the other.
Yeah.
I've
told people for years to do that. Just put a couple in your bag. You know, nobody's going to stop and check your bag. But, you know, I get it, and I also know, you know, where you're coming from, too. In these times, you know, I still haven't gone out to a restaurant. And my wife and I normally eat out, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And during this time, she's nowhere close to being ready to go into a restaurant. Now, I myself, I'm not sure if I am or not, but we have not been out. You know, we might get carry out or something from somewhere, but going in and sitting down and having somebody handle our food right now, we're not there yet. So I understand where you're coming from, but again, the parks are the ones that does that kind of stuff, and I just have to abide by the parks as much as possible. And that's not to say that somebody doesn't get a cooler in and somebody comes and gripes at us for it happening, but you know, it's really not something that we deal with.
Yeah,
no, I understand.
Yeah.
That's all.
Go ahead, Jason.
I'm sorry, Holly. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I thought you were finished. Go ahead.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I am finished. Getting excited to go watch some ball and then play one more out of state for a little bit and come back in state. But other than that, I'll stick around and listen in. If you guys got anything else, just holler at me.
Well, Jason,
appreciate it.
Spread the word. Spread the word to your age group and let them know that we're back operating, and maybe we can get your age to where you, you know, we have some tournaments over there and you don't have to travel outside of your area.
Will do, Ron. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good day, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not speaking for Ron because I help him some areas and everything. So, and he has never told me, nor would I ask about the financial stuff on this, but I do know how things work a little bit. And some, because I know I've done it myself. If I go in and do a tournament, let's say at Podunk Town in Southern Indiana, I'm from Southern Indiana, so I can say Podunk. So if I go to whatever little town that has a community, and we negotiate, because it's going to be a negotiation. It's going to be what they're used to doing, because I've done like instructional camps, and sometimes that they do concessions, whatever. They're going to say, well, this is what we're going to charge you. Or sometimes I say, we're going to charge you less and we're going to take the gate, or we're going to charge you less and we're going to take concessions, and you add all those things up of so it's a lot of times is out of the control of the people running the tournament. On the other hand is, and I on both sides, and I'm just, this is where we are with this as well, because there's businesses shutting down that will never reopen, and people's livelihood is going to be shut down, and Future Stars is struggling. And obviously, I mean, he's not told me, but I'm assuming financially this is a financial impact. Not only is it emotional, but it's financial. And it's that battle between staying safe with your health versus staying safe with your financial health. And it's a battle. It's really, really tough. And so obviously health, body health comes first. But anyway, so that's my little commentary. So...
And Holly, I don't mind, you know, without completely, and you know, giving away everything, but I don't mind to comment on that because a lot of people think that you know, we just out and out make a killing on what we're doing, and you know, I'm not going to lie and say if I'm not making money, I'm not you know, I'm not doing this, but as you stated. There's a different agreement on every street corner, depending on who I'm working with. But you know, I pay X amount of dollars per field per day. I don't get any concessions. I'm paying the guys on staff to work these events. I'm paying umpires. You know, I'll give an example. This last weekend that we played, I wrote a check for over $12,000 for umpires, which we played a bunch of games. But, you know, that was a significant amount.
That's a chunk of money, yeah.
Yeah, my staff, I had one park that I wrote a check for $3,100 for the use of their park for 3 days. Another park is not quite that expensive, but, you know, it's not cheap. And then I've got my staff that for these first 2 weeks, I have doubled my staff in order to keep the dugouts and things cleaned, which we are going to change that up and put that more on the teams, which is what I'm hearing other programs are doing.
Yeah.
But I've taken a tremendous hit financially these first 2 weeks with added expenses. And, you know, I'm not complaining. It is where we are. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm struggling because I'm very blessed. You know, I've got I'm retired from Ford. I've got income. But my normal income with this, you know, this supplements what I – with me being retired, this supplements my income. And I have taken a hit tremendously. And the loss of the World Series is a huge, huge hit. But, you know, everybody is. And it's a different time.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of resources that I don't have available right now that we normally would have. But, you know, to get back, we do pay for things that others may not, and when I say others, our organizations do this. But what happens a lot of times, families and people that are involved with Little League parks, they run a tournament and they run it through Little League, and they're doing concessions, they're getting the gate, they're not paying for fields because they're associated with the Little League, and they make, you know, several thousand dollars, and they're like, oh, you're making a killing. Well, they don't have the cost and expense that most tournament directors do coming in and using that facility. Because again, I'm paying for the parks. I'm paying for staff to where those are volunteers in a Little League organization. The parks are, you know, controlled by the Little League. So they're getting to use the park. They don't have these costs, but they think at the same time that because they made $7,500, they think Ron Ray made $7,500, and that's really not the case.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not sitting here belly aching because, again, if I'm not making money, I wouldn't be doing this. I mean, obviously I am making money, but I don't make what a lot of people think you make. And, you know, I'll be standing at the gate and have somebody come in and make a comment that I can't believe this, love all this. But they don't know the hidden cost in order to do this. A lot of times it's because they have been involved in a Little League program that ran a tournament for the Little League, and they got all that stuff handed
to them. Yeah, got
it
free.
And then
they
made a big profit, and they're also paying their umpires $25 and $30 a piece, maybe cheaper than that, and my umpires make quite a bit more than that. So – no, there's a lot of expense here, and there is a lot of overhead. And additionally, with what we've got going on, that cost has gone up. So, but, you know, I hope that answered what you were saying, and I probably ranted too long, but that is what it is.
No, and I think, and that's the nature of this type of business. I know, like, I do lessons, and I make a pretty decent amount per hour, but I don't work 40 hours a week, and it's slow in the winter time, and there's different things like that. It's much like hotels. I mean, hotels are make their money on short periods of time during the year, and so you're paying them that amount of money because They have to make their money in this amount of time. So you can't do a tournament in the winter. Well, there's indoor places and stuff, but so it's kind of like, it just way. And, but your tournaments are, very competitive financially with other tournaments. So it's, you're not out there to make as much money as you can off these teams. So that's a positive too.
Yes. Yeah. If you would check most prices, I'm like $100 cheaper than almost anybody around me when it comes to my tournament fees.
Mm-hmm. So we got, looks like, and thank you for that conversation. It kind of gets a little bit off track here, but it looks like we have Don here. So I think, let's see, Don, are you there?
I'm here.
Yep. You got any thoughts?
Yeah. We are no longer doing the coaches are paying for the gate. Our gate is going to be back and running again this starting this weekend. And it's $7 per person, 16 and under is free. And that it will be doing a gate each day going forward. So,
and that's everywhere, that's all local? Yeah.
Yeah, the teams have gotten used to the last couple of weeks that a fee had just been added to the tournament price, and they didn't have to pay a gate. Well, starting this weekend, we go back to having a gate. So that'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what he's talking about, Holly, is go ahead, Don.
While I'm at the gate, I'm not going to sit there and tell people they can't bring in coolers either.
Right, right. And this is at all the tournaments, or which tournament is it?
I will be at New Albany.
At the New Albany tournament, I gotcha.
George and I will be this weekend. And,
all right.
Yeah, we will be charging a gate at New Albany.
Good deal. So I'm going to try to get out there a little bit Saturday, so I'll run and try to find you too.
Okay.
Yeah. Go see some players play. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good hearing from you. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Good. Good deal. All right. And we're going to put you on hold a little bit, and I think George is probably just listening, but George, you got anything?
No, ma'am. I'm just listening.
Good deal. Well, I think you're going to be in New Albany this weekend as well?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Good deal. Well, I'll see you out there probably a little bit, hopefully. Come out and kind of see some players. I think it's a high school level. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Good deal. Good deal. All right. So we've got Johnson City shut down. The showcase after that is shut down. But we are in opening up in Kentucky. And so that's positive. Anything else, Ron? What else you got for us today?
Now, we'll back up as far as the Kentucky opening up. Realistically, I think July the 18th, 19th is when he has come out and said we can run tournaments. So we're still under some kind of jumping through some hurdles or hoops here to actually play. But we're doing things in a manner that I think gets us under the guidelines. I don't anticipate any real problems here. And I'm also very aware that there's several tournaments in the area. Shelbyville, Kentucky is playing baseball. Lawrenceburg, Woodford County is playing baseball. I think there's a baseball tournament in Lexington, and I know that because one of the fast pitch girls' coach, his son, he's playing in my tournament, but his son's playing in Lexington. It's one reason he was looking to get into Nicholasville. And I mentioned Woodford County. I know that Woodford County's playing baseball because I've got a 16-year-old son that's playing there this weekend. So there's others playing. And, we're going by the June 29th. We're allowed to play games. and it was stated as games and not tournaments. So, you know, we're kind of doing the same thing we did the first couple of weeks we opened up in Indiana, and trying to, you know, do it in a manner that it's not a tournament format. Although up there, I'll be honest, I did end up on Sunday doing seeding and finishing up in tournament play, but we're doing it in a way that we can get people in the park, social distance, and be safe about it. It's on a private property, so I don't anticipate any problems doing it. And as stated, I know of several other tournaments in that area that's playing as well. So, but we're excited about it. But my understanding, July 18th, 19th is when they are supposed to open up. But I also know that E-Town Sports Park is opening up July the 11th and 12th, and they actually received permission from the governor to do that. So they're starting to allow these type of events to happen, and you know, I'm excited about it and hope to get Nicholasville built up into a manner that we're there for a number of years to come. But we're going to be at Nicholasville every weekend starting this weekend. We will have something potentially, at least we've got it advertised, potentially we will have something every weekend until the last week of October. So if anybody's looking to play, can't find something, reach out to me and we'll see what we can do, see what we can put together.
And for those that are not aware, Nicholasville is just what, list slightly outside of Lexington, west of Lexington?
I tell everybody 15 minutes south of Lexington. Okay. There's a Nicholasville Road, comes out of the backside. It's off of Ring Road. You can also come up Highway 68, depending on where you're coming from. And it surprises me. I was not aware. You know, coming from where I come from, which live just south of Louisville, and it's about an hour and 20 minutes to the park. We have teams from Campbellsville and areas like that come up here to play in New Albany and Louisville area. They're an hour and a half away. Well, apparently, they're only 45 minutes from Nicholasville, and I never would have dreamed that because, you know, it's east of there, but apparently the angle and cutting across Highway 68 and different roads down in there, they say, you know, this is great for me. I'm only 45 minutes. And then you've got Cumberland and Somerset and other areas like that that we periodically will get a team or two. Well, now they're 40 minutes away. They're 45. And it's
a nice location.
It's going to open it up to a lot of areas that we get teams from, but now, in a sense, we're almost like in their backyard. And I know, I can't remember if it was last weekend or the weekend before, but I had probably 30 teams from Central Kentucky that went to Indiana.
Wow.
So this will be much more convenient for them. So I'm hoping that once we get that open and the word gets out that we start to fill that park up every weekend.
So I think the park's sit for a while, and I think there's been some renovations. How's the condition of the facility?
We still have work, and the fellow that owns it is making a lot of promises. I hope he holds true to it, but there's a lot of things that I have requested, and you know, I've got a list that's going, you know, it's not going to all happen this year, but he's saying that he will get this done. But, you know, right now it's playable. Two of the fields are pretty nice. Two of the fields are, you know, still need work. They all need work. I mean, they're a long way from what they once were, but the park has so much potential. And he, you know, it's really, the conversation is, you know, if we can prove ourselves that we're going to be there, and we're able to put on a tournament pretty consistently, then he's willing to make the investments to improve the park. So it's twofold. You know, I need teams to come in and help. as far as, you know, help us fill the park so we can show them that, you know, show this gentleman that owns the park that, yes, we can do this, we can fill the park, we can make this to where, you know, it is a benefit to you, then he's willing to invest. But, you know, if we aren't able to get a lot of teams playing on a weekly basis, then that may not happen. But I'm optimistic. I think there's a lot of potential there. And he seems to be one that is willing to work and do the things that is needed to be done. And like I say, there's been a lot of promises. I have to deliver on my end, and hopefully in doing that, he'll deliver on his end. But he's telling me that he pretty much will do whatever is needed if we can show him that we can get the park up and going like it once was.
Cool. So what is the name of the park?
It's the Old Memorial Sports Complex.
Okay.
Some people, last couple of years, I think it was kind of champions. There's a indoor facility there locally, and some people that were running it were running tournaments. So it started being called Champions Park, although the name was never legally changed. And in time, I expect it to become Future Stars of Sports Park. So,
oh, cool.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
Yeah.
And I believe it's going to happen. I just, you know, I need teams to come and be supportive. The ones that like what we do, come and play there and, you know, let us know. And, you know, I want him to meet people, the guy that owns it, because I want him to hear firsthand from the teams and he get an idea of what he needs to do. The gentleman I'm talking about really bought the park as an investment, but he has no knowledge of baseball or fast pitch. And we've depended on him to do a lot of things at the park, and he's like, he didn't know what he's doing. And then the pandemic hit, and that set us behind because we were going up there and starting to get some things done and telling him, hey, we need this, we need that. And then it went back to sitting idle for, you know, 2-3 months, whatever it's been since March. And now we're behind the eight ball trying to get it up and running and got set back a little bit. But I'm very hopeful and excited, and the opportunity that sits there and exists is, you know, it's a phenomenal situation. But, again, we've got to have teams and show this man that what we're capable of doing. And I think in return, he'll invest the monies that need to get the park back to the way it once was. And years ago, it was one of the best parks in the state of Kentucky.
Wow. Yeah. I'm looking at a picture now. It looks like it has, I don't know how old, this looks like June 2017. So it's got, it looks like it has 4 baseball fields and 1 softball in that cluster. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It looks like there's another field down a ways from there. So is that the park I'm looking at? With that, it's got like a concession
probably
in the middle? Yeah.
Yeah, it probably is. It has 3 full-size baseball fields, which one of them right now is in pretty bad shape, and they're supposed to get it ready here within the next couple of weeks. But two of them are AstroTurf infields, the older type AstroTurf,
wow.
And dirt baselines, which you can play anything on because they'll, you know,
right. Yeah.
Portable pitching mounds for baseball. And then a third field has AstroTurf on it as well, and it's only a 200-foot fence. So, it, you know, it's doable for younger baseball or any fast pitch age.
Right.
And then there's a dirt infield that's 200-foot that you can do, you know, either sport on as well. There's a 6th field up on the hill that they've let through the years grow up, but they're supposed to get that one back in shape for us. So, you know, in time, we'll have 6 fields, and there's potentially a 7th field. There's a contractor that is moving rock. Made a deal with the owner he's coming in and taking rock out of the property. There's like an additional 40 acres behind the field that this gentleman owns.
Uh-huh.
And a contractor has come in and is digging and taking limestone off of his property. Well, in return, this gentleman's supposed to build an additional field for, you know, a trade in a sense. He's taken taking the limestone, using it for his construction business, and then when he finishes doing all that in repairing the property, they're going to build a new field on top of that property that he's now, I'm going to say, damaging, or, you know, using the limestone. But in return, there's supposed to be an additional field built on that property. So there's a lot of things there. And again, I mentioned he's got 40 acres. He has mentioned if we can really blow this thing up, that potentially he could build additional fields there. So,
yeah.
Again, you know, I don't know if all of this will come true, but there's been a lot of conversation, and there's a lot of things there that if it were to go right, it could be a really huge benefit to us and the teams in that area.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And such centrally located, and it's a pretty area. I'm looking at the pictures here. Of course, Lexington and Nicholasville area is pretty anyway. So, all right. Well, it looks like we're done for the hour, and we'll get back to you, Ron. I guess I'll go down and see if anybody has any last words here. So we'll go to Mark. You got any kind of last words?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for joining us. And John, you got anything?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Good deal, and thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you soon. Jason?
No, ma'am, I'm good. Thank you.
Good, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon. And Don?
Yes, play ball, have fun, be safe.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, and thank you for joining us here. So, Ron, why don't you go ahead and finish up with a few things, and I've got a couple announcements here that I got to make, and then we'll be finished with the show today.
I really don't know how to end. I'm just going to say thank you for all of everybody's patience and being understanding through these difficult times, and please continue to support us, and if there's any way I can help you, don't hesitate to reach out to me. That's it for me, Holly. You have a great day, and I will be in touch.
Okay, thank you, and good luck this weekend, Nicholasville, for you all and Future Stars of Sports, and hopefully that works out really, really well. So that's it for the show. A couple of things. Want to make sure that we will still be here every Thursday at 12 o'clock Eastern time. You can join us live by coming to the Blog Talk Radio site that you are listening to here. You can listen to past shows, previous shows from Ron and I, or any other shows that I've had with Gap to Gap Radio. One of the things is my Monday show, I'm making some adjustments. I haven't actually had it in a few weeks, partly because of the scheduling and partly because of some other things, but I'm going to make some new adjustments with that show. I probably will stay up Monday at 12, but stay tuned. I'll be getting some information out there, but I'm pretty excited about the new format for that. So with that said, I appreciate everybody listening, and you all have a great weekend. Join us every Thursday at 12 o'clock. Thank you. Have a great day.